Ông Shanti. The most interesting subject for me when I first started Raj Yoga was the subject of the soul. And this is why this morning we spent a couple of sessions on just thinking about the soul and soul consciousness and what this means. But the next subject tonight is perhaps even more interesting, and it's the subject of the divine. The word yoga means union, and so yes, the union and the harmony within, in the sense that my inner core values and my conscience come together, whereas before my values were saying one thing and maybe my life was doing something else. But once my conscience and my values come together, then they manifest in my life, and so there's harmony within, there's yoga, union inside. But in particular, Raj Yoga refers to the union of the Self with the Supreme. And so although the word meditation has now become very popular in many places, many countries, but the meditation of Raj Yoga is very specific. It's to use the mind in a very conscious way to be able to make the connection with God. Maybe the deepest form of prayer, because there can be many levels of prayer. Sometimes children are taught to pray and they do it as a memory exercise. They recite it like a poem, which is fine. Teaching children to pray is better than not teaching them. But it just becomes something that they recite rather than something that they feel. Or sometimes the conversation with God is more of a list of requests. I want this, 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 this. Or sometimes it's a complaint session. But why? Deep prayer, which is a communication of love from the heart in a very sincere way, could be also described as meditation. Because meditation is the communication of soul with the Supreme. And this morning we were talking about the faith in the intellect that's able to channel the energy of the mind and move it in the direction of God. The first step is faith in terms of my own identity, that I am a soul. And then the second would be faith in terms of God, because we've had many, many conflicting ideas about God across the world through all the different centuries and all the different scriptures. But Raj Yoga offers a very, very simple understanding. The Supreme Being. And this morning I said that this image represents the soul, but equally it represents the Supreme Soul, the point of light, the source of love, of peace, of joy, of wisdom. And the foundation of soul consciousness, and in particular my practice of soul consciousness, is absolutely vital to be able to experience the link with the divine. And so I don't need to say anything in words. I don't need to chant anything. I don't even need to sit in a particular posture or do any breathing exercises, but just simply sitting naturally, comfortably, like you all have been doing here. But letting the mind be free, so that the mind isn't drawn to my body, it isn't drawn to other bodily beings, isn't drawn to anything of the physical world, but it's able to transcend all of this and go beyond. There's an understanding we have of three levels in terms of space. And I'm using the word space even though I'm going to describe to you a place which is beyond. But there's this physical world, and we occupy the dimension of time and space here. The soul takes a physical body and plays its role on the stage. And beyond this, not above or below, but beyond, there's a space which we describe as the subtle dimension, a place where one can have the experience of an angelic form, a form of light, the soul, but the soul in a form of light, the angelic form. But even beyond that, a world of total silence, a world of purity, a world which is even without vibration, just totally, totally still, a place of peace, our home. That is the abode of the Supreme. We play our part here on the world stage. But the being up above is above this drama, this in and out of whatever is going on the world stage. We go through the experience of birth and death with the Supreme Being, constant, the anchor, the one who is forever the same, the being of light, up above, in that dimension of light. And it's possible to experience that, even when we are here, to be able to go beyond this physical space and be there. And the more I experience that, by taking the consciousness beyond to that world of light, even if you experience it for just a moment, the stillness, the purity, and the peace of that world will increase your capacity to be able to come back here and play your role in a more beautiful way. It's a way to recharge your inner battery. It's like if you've had a good sleep, you feel much better, and things don't look as bad as they did before. I had a telephone call from somebody who wasn't feeling very happy, and it was situations that they couldn't really do anything about immediately, but I knew that they were exhausted, and so I didn't tell them to meditate. I told them, go to sleep. And you'll feel better after you've had a good sleep. And they were able to sleep. And they reported back the next day that things weren't as bad as they had seemed. So that's on a physical level. But on a spiritual level, taking your consciousness beyond the world of matter, beyond the world of activity, to a place of silence, a place of light, and just letting yourself have an experience of being there for a moment, a few moments, and it's very, very energizing and powerful. And when you come back again here to play your role, you're far better equipped. But apart from being a place of rest, a place of silence, it's also the home of my parent, the home of the divine. And so taking your mind up there and thinking of God as that being of light, connecting with that supreme being, and the soul has access to all the treasures that it would like to have. On the one side, all the treasures are within the soul, but yet we also know that there's all the negative things that we're trying to deal with and remove. And there's negative influences that come from outside. And so connecting with the divine means that that influence comes over the soul and protects the soul from the negative influences that come from around us in the world. And so God is remembered as the protector. And in a very practical way, protecting me from the influences from out there, but also, in a very practical way, protecting me from my own devilish tendencies. Protecting me from the things that are weak and not so good within the self. So that with God's protection and power, that which is negative within myself is being eliminated. It's not just being prevented from expressing, but it's actually being eliminated. It's being removed. So that there's a purification that happens. And the soul goes through a cleansing. And only that which is the highest and purest within the soul remains. Think about the seed and how everything is contained within the seed. But the seed needs the energy and the light of the sun. Then what is inside is going to be expressed. And so the same thing, the influence of God, my connection with God, God's company. And God's company is such that it influences me, and the highest within the soul is able to be expressed and emerge. And so the supreme, not in size, the soul is a point of light. God is a point of light. Strange, but yet true. A point is the only form that is indivisible. When the Greeks came up with the word atma, atom, you can see that they took the word atom from the word atma, which came from India, and so Greece has origins. Many words have their origins in Sanskrit. And so the word atom, they thought meant indivisible, that which you cannot break up into any part further. Of course, later they discovered you could. But the word atom came from Atma, the word in Hindi for soul. Atma, it means soul. And so that which is indivisible cannot break it up, eternal. And the supreme soul, the same, eternal. Just a point, cannot be broken up. There's many avenues to explore. And one particular thing that I'd like us to explore now, and it's a sensitive subject, but I think you're here with open hearts and open minds and want to know more. And I'm thinking about how, on the one side, it's easy to say, yes, I know that God is up above. But yet, on the other side, we've had this idea that God is all around, everywhere. God is this vast energy that one can tap into and connect with. And we haven't had a proper address for God. If someone asks you, what is God's address? You'd say, only God knows, we don't know. And so we've had these two contradictory ideas, that God is somewhere up above, and yet on the other side we've also said, God is all around, everywhere. And this is true in most traditions. I know Buddhism has a very different idea, but the theistic traditions will all have this duality of approach, up above and within, everywhere, all around. And so I want to tackle this very delicate, sensitive subject. Why? Because my interest is to be able to have a relationship with the divine, which is what yoga is about. When they started the Hatha Yoga thousands of years ago, they thought that if you could discipline the body with force, and the things that Hatha yogis are able to do in terms of mastery over the body, each limb and every limb being able to move it around, some of you may have done Hatha yoga, it's quite incredible. And yet, even though there may be perfect mastery over the body, it doesn't give you mastery over the mind. And way, way back, thousands of years ago, they thought that if we learn to master the body, at some point of time, we'll be able to master the mind also. True? Who thinks that's true? If I manage to have mastery over the body, will there come a point when automatically I'll have mastery over the mind? Who thinks that that's true? No one. Great. Pass. But there are people, and not just a handful, but a lot of people who think that that is so. But no. The mastery over the mind happens through the understanding of the mind, not by beating it into submission, by making the body do all sorts of things. And so my interest is to be able to experience yoga, union, by connecting my mind and intellect with the divine. just as if I want to have a relationship with you. It's not just by singing songs of praise about you, but it's when we get to know each other and when our minds and hearts are connected, are engaged. I can be singing songs of praise about you, but if my mind and heart isn't engaged, then there is no connection, there is no relationship. Same thing. We can be singing, chanting, praying, doing all sorts of penances, but if my mind and heart are not connected, there is no yoga, no union, no relationship. And so to have a relationship, I need to know God. And so yes, there's all the praise of God that's being described in all the traditions, the infinite, the ocean, the unlimited one, the source of love, of life, of light, of joy, of truth, the Almighty. All of these things are absolutely correct. But all of them are contained within this point, this dot, this point of light. Not a difficult thing to accept. A huge amount of information gets compressed into tiny amounts of space now. Really amazing how technology has progressed to such an extent. And so the Supreme Being, just a point of light, even just the wonder of the soul, just think about how much data is compressed within I, the being of light, a point of light. You know, when somebody has a photo album and you see it on the computer and you see all these photographs of one event, and it's a huge amount of data, but that's one event. Just think about how much is compressed in your memory right from age 2. I can recall one particular scene, not everything, but one particular scene that must have been when I was about 2 years of age. And then after that, other scenes and more and more and more and more. And so how amazing is this being of light? Not just in terms of its memory, but in terms of its personality. Different facets of your personality being expressed at different times. Different people seeing different parts of you. Same person, but one will describe you one way, another will describe you another way, and both will be correct. It's not the one or the other, but it's many, 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 many facets, all of the same individual. And so the human soul, and there's so much that's stored within this point of light. And so think about the Supreme and the infinite amount of love that God has. What's the population today? 6 billion something something? I don't know what the latest figure is, but whatever it is. And God's love encompasses every single soul. Now that's huge. How big is the ocean? And love that's not just able to reach billions and billions of souls, but love that's able to accept them all unconditionally, without judgment, without any reservations, without any divisions. And so just the magnitude of that love. You know, when you stood by the ocean and you looked out and you can't see the other side, is just the ocean infinite, and is just the ocean meeting the sky, and you're in a position where you can see the water all around you, and it just makes you stand in awe of nature and how vast this ocean is. Now think about, in soul consciousness, approaching God the Supreme and the vastness of God's peace. Peace that is absolutely immense, so that anyone, anywhere, tuning in is able to experience that. Or even more incredible, sometimes people don't even want to tune in, don't even believe it, and yet something happens and their hearts feel as if someone somewhere has listened to them and comforted them and given them peace. Stories about that too. Non-believers having come to that experience somehow. So my point that just within this tiny infinitesimal being who is the Supreme, there is this huge amount of love and wisdom and joy. And so every time I connect, I remember the Supreme, then the influence of that reaches me, and it not only comes to me, but also it awakens the highest within my own being. And so my own highest potential is emerged and then expressed. But where is this being? What is the address? And so I have to take my mind beyond, to that place of total stillness and silence. And there's been a very interesting discussion about why it's difficult to have a personal relationship with God nowadays. And on the one side, most people would say, yes, God is the parent, or at least the creator. I think everybody would agree, creator. And we are the creation. But again, if there's a creator, then it implies that there is a being, a personality, with a specific address, an abode, a home. And of course, in some traditions, they remember God as Father. And in India, they very specifically remember God as Mother and Father. But even more than that, some would say that God is Mother, Father, Teacher, Guide, even Friend and Companion. And so it's possible to experience all these different levels of relationships with the Divine, each and every single one of them, and experience that yoga, that union. But I need to know where and how to get there. And one of the reasons why, at the present time, people have found it easy to accept an abstract awareness of God and find it a challenge to accept a very specific relationship with God. Do you know why? Having a specific relationship with God requires obedience and surrender. And we're not ready for that. In today's world, we prize individuality. We don't like this word, obedience, usually. And surrender. Well, there's many questions about this idea of surrender. And so the concept of a personal relationship with God is very challenging. And yet, it's only through that personal relationship and then the give and take that happens. Here is God giving me everything. And so what do I give in return? Nothing that I can give except my obedience. A child and parent, and the parent is ready to give everything to the child, not just an inheritance which is going to come whenever it comes later, but immediately. Parent takes care of every need of the child, anticipates the need of the child even before the child is aware of it and is able to articulate it. And so that's how much the parent loves and gives to the child. And what does the child have to do in return? Just simply be obedient. That's it. And the same thing here. My recognition of the Supreme Being as my parent and my obedience to God's instructions, which are very simple, not complicated directions. First direction from God, be soul conscious. Second direction from God, take your mind away from the things of this world and turn your attention towards me. That's it. And then the third direction, yes, when you're here and you're playing your role here, then do it as a trustee. This doesn't belong to you. Even this doesn't belong to you. Right? Did you make it? Did you buy it? Where did you get it from? How long are you going to have it? Do you know? And so it's a gift and it's been given in trust. And so nothing is actually mine. And so God's direction, yes, use this, but use it in the best possible way. Use this, but again, in a worthwhile way. And don't abuse it, don't misuse it. Be a trustee, and then you'll use the resources as they should be used in a worthwhile way. And so God's directions aren't very complicated. God's directions are not for God's benefit, they're for my benefit. If I have the awareness of being a soul, I'll be free from negativity. If I have a connection with God and remember God, I'll be able to draw God's power, which I desperately need at this moment in myself. If I follow God's directions of being a trustee, I'll be saved the pain of attachment. Attachment brings a lot of sorrow. Did you know that? If you've been through a period of sorrow, check it out. And you'll probably find that it was because of attachment. And okay, maybe you've learned to deal with attachments and detach, detach, detach. You know the other thing that causes a lot of pain? Ego. It's very interesting. Explore it and you'll see that when there's a feeling of pain, I don't mean physical pain, if there's pain in the body, yes, something's wrong and you need to find out and get it sorted out and get medicine. But if the soul is experiencing pain, for sure, it's a sign of ego. When I discovered this through the lessons that we study, I thought to myself, it's so simple. How come I didn't know that before? But that's the beauty of truth. It's very simple and you don't realize it. And then you need to hear it and you begin to think about it and you say it makes sense. And so be a trustee and no pain, no sorrow, and you're able to live life very comfortably, very happily. And so obedience to God means that my connection with God becomes deeper. And this whole thing about relationships with God is a very beautiful experience. And if I don't know where to find God and how to connect with God, and I think God is just this abstract energy all around, I can't connect. There is no yoga. And so knowledge of the soul, self-realization, everybody's told us it's important. But reading about it or hearing about it is different to practicing it. And so the practice of soul consciousness. And then soul consciousness leads to God consciousness. And it really isn't possible to experience God without that foundation first. In body consciousness, my connections are with humans. But in soul consciousness, I'm able to go above that and make the connection with God. And so, taking my mind to that space, that home of silence, is the way in which I can start exploring my connection with the divine. Let's experiment with this for a few minutes in meditation and let's see what happens. Sitting quietly, the desire in the heart, is to experience the divine. I focus my thoughts in the center of the forehead and come to the awareness of the soul. I, the eternal being, the being of light, and in this detachment from the body and the world of matter, I, the soul, with the power of my mind, am able to go beyond, beyond the stars, the moon, even the sun. I go through the angelic region and even beyond, to a world of light. Infinite light, a place where there are no walls, and here I come to the divine. Supreme being of light, and in this space I'm drawn by the magnetism of the Supreme. From the ocean of love come the waves of love that I have thirsted for. And the power of this love is able to wash away the dust I had accumulated, and the light of the soul shines. I, the soul, filled with the power of this love, return to my original I, the pure soul, I, the child of God, reflecting the qualities of my parent. And the power of these qualities radiates out into the world. God's light spreads love. Peace. And truth into the world. Keeping this connection with the Divine, my thoughts come back to the physical dimension, but now I hold this awareness I keep this experience with myself. Om Shanti. It's an eternal relationship, but one that I've forgotten. The Supreme doesn't forget me, but I forget. And so meditation is a way to remind myself and re-establish that link once again. You know how if there's something that you've forgotten and a person is reminding you of that incident, I'm sure you've had that experience where you'll say, I don't remember that. And then they continue to tell you. And something begins to stir. And there's a trigger. And then you say, ah yes, I recall that. And so then you say, ah yes, now I remember. And so the memory returns, the memory awakens. And it's a little bit the same. The connection is there that we've forgotten. And so God again reminds us of that relationship and that connection. And in meditation, the memory is awakening. It's again returning. The awakening is happening. And so I begin to recall, yes, I'm the child of God. Yes, this is who my parent is. Yes, this is what my home is like. And so it's the awakening of the memory that is there within the soul. So it's not a new experience in a way. If you were trying to learn something new, it might be more challenging. But it's not a new thing. It's something that is there. And it's simply blowing away the cobwebs and allowing that awareness to emerge. And as the relationship with God deepens and strengthens, the influence of God in your life becomes stronger and stronger. If you want to know how deep is a relationship with a friend, then you can just see to what extent are they influencing you. And maybe you don't see it, but others begin to see it. You're beginning to talk like them. You're beginning to use the same vocabulary. You're beginning to think like them. You're beginning to do the same things. And so the influence of their company is changing you. And that's even on a human level. And so in yoga, the relationship with God, the connection with God, the same thing is happening. It's awakening the memory of my own original divinity. There's a beautiful expression that comes in all the scriptures. And even though they've all said the soul is eternal, yet they've also said another thing. And they said that the soul was created in the image of God. We have been created in His image. Do you believe that? Well, what happened? The Supreme is the being of love. And so what happened to me? I forgot. The Supreme is the being of peace, and I forgot. And so I became angry and violent. And so in yoga, again the connection and the memory of who I am as a child of God. And the soul is again being recreated in the image of the divine, so that the qualities of God then become visible through the soul. And the deeper my connection, the more I'm able to be like my parent. The relationship being stronger and the influence being stronger. And so no more the struggle between the devil and the divine. The devil gets chased away. And the divine becomes powerful and is being expressed all the time. It's tiring, struggling. When you have to keep battling, you get tired and exhausted. And so that's what exhausts us very often. It's not how much work we do. But yes, the waste thoughts causes tiredness, but also the battle causes us tiredness. And in this case, just stay connected, and that influence keeps working, that company colors you and transforms you, and so no battle, no struggle. And the natural response then is of goodness and the highest of truth. You know how you know that this is the direction you should go in, and yet there's another part of you pulling you in a different way. But stay connected, and there isn't anything else that will pull you. You'll just keep moving in the right direction, and you'll get there. I've talked a little bit about the relationship with the mother and the father, but think about how, in the context of the mother and father, God truly is the ocean of forgiveness. Yes, the parent expects the child to be honest and to have the courage and the humility to acknowledge a mistake. It's very interesting how the parent knows, but the child thinks the parent doesn't know. And so there'll be all sorts of stories trying to hide the truth. The parent knows, but the child being childlike, and the child thinks that, well, the parent doesn't know. And so there's a whole story that's being spun. But in fact, parent knows, and if the child is honest, then the parent is able to give a huge amount of love and appreciation. And so my courage, my honesty in being able to acknowledge my mistake, and in that acceptance of my mistake, in that realization of my mistake, I'm putting it in front of the Divine. The mother and father are able to forgive me. But the forgiveness is also dependent on not just realization, but my transformation, my commitment to change. If the child keeps saying sorry and continues to make a mistake and repeat the mistake, then there comes a moment when the parent stops believing that the child really is sorry. But if the child acknowledges a mistake and then deeply repents and goes through a transformation and change, the parent will give a huge amount of love and say, okay, never mind, move on. And the same thing with God. The ocean of compassion, the ocean of forgiveness, able to forgive, but also I have to realize and I have to transform and make that commitment of transformation. And so in the role of mother and father, the parent is pulling the child to come back to its original state of total purity. As I used to be, when I started my journey, completely clean and pure, my parents' desire is for me to come back to that. I have a question. Is it my desire to come back to that original state of purity? Or am I content with the way things are? And if I'm content, a little bit good, a little bit not so good, sometimes yes, sometimes no, you know, all of these things, and well, that's what human beings are, and so that's what I am, so that's okay. And if I'm comfortable with myself in that condition, no problem, fine, stay that way. Nobody can make you change. You can stay like that. Not even God can make us change. But if I say, I want to change, and I want to come back to that original state of purity, and the motivation begins when I can feel the beauty of that purity, when I can have a glimpse of it, and in that connection with God, I can feel how clean the soul must have been, how pure the soul must have been. And if that's what I want, then yes, my desire and God's help come together and the transformation will happen. And so in that very personal relationship in which I am obedient, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's compassion, God's power, all work to help me go through that transformation and eliminate the things that really don't need to be there at all. A very simple analogy is given. Think about gold that's got alloy mixed within it. And so the value of that gold has been very, very much reduced. And so now it's almost artificial, it's almost fake. But it has to be put through very, very intense fire. And that intense fire is able to remove all the dirt and all the rubbish. And what comes out then is that pure, pure gold. When I started my journey, that's what I was like, completely pure. The Creator, the Supreme, totally pure, forever pure. But the soul in that condition also, a reflection of the Divine, pure. And then, having gone through the journey, just think about what happens to your clothes by the end of the day. You start the day very fresh, and by the end of the day, you're a bit crumbled, a bit dirty, not so nice. And so the condition of the soul at this point is a little bit like that. And so God's love, purifying the soul, transforming the soul, and all the habits and tendencies that I would like to get rid of, but I don't have the power on my own, or even the courage maybe, to be able to let go. God's love is able to help me transform, and I come back to that stage of being completely pure. And so the role of the mother and father are to help me come back to my own original pure state. But another role that God has, the Supreme Teacher, the one who knows everything, all the secrets of the universe. Just imagine the mind and intellect of God, knowing everything, everything, the ocean of knowledge, knowledge that is endless. And my connection with the teacher, and God is able to teach me all the secrets that I need to understand about how to live my life here and now. God is able to teach me what I was like and what I can be again. I don't need to be a thought reader. I don't need to know what's going on in your mind. It's complicated enough dealing with what's going on in my mind. Just imagine having to deal with all the information of what's going on in everybody else's minds. I wouldn't be able to cope with it. So not in that sense of all-knowing, but knowing what it is I need to do now. If I do something now, what's going to be the outcome? What's going to be the result of this? And so the Supreme Teacher, who's able to teach me and help me understand what's going on in the world at this moment. Do you feel a little bit confused sometimes about what's going on in the world? Things seem to be completely chaotic. Things seem to be without rhyme and reason. Doesn't make sense. You try and make meaning of something, and you give up. You say, I can't make sense of this at all. And my connection with the Supreme Teacher, and there's clarity. I understand what's going on. And I know what it is I have to do now, at this moment of time. I know what's going to be the repercussions of whatever it is I do. This idea of knowing and understanding, and in particular the subject of cause and effect, karma, it's a subject that you'll be hearing about later on over the next few days, so I don't intend to take it up. But just this idea of the Supreme Teacher and connecting with the Supreme Teacher and being able to access wisdom that a human being or a book or a scripture can't give me. Just look back over the information I shared this morning, and you've heard a lot more detail about it back home, I'm sure. the knowledge of the soul. Did you read about that information very specifically, very clearly anywhere? So the source, the supreme teacher. That's just one aspect. But the supreme teacher able to give us all the knowledge we need. Knowledge that is useful for us to be able to help us do elevated actions so that our lives can be elevated here and now. And then, a relationship with the Supreme Guide. Within the darkness and the confusion of the world, which direction do I go in? How do I know what is right and what is wrong? How am I able to go beyond this world and go back home? The guide will show me. The guide will be able to show me. And so, the connection with the Supreme Guide. The one who not only shows you, go this way, go that way, go the other way, but who actually holds my hand and takes me there. If you're lost in a city that you don't know, and there's a person you come across, you've asked many people, and they all keep giving you contradictory directions, go here, do this, go there, do that. And then you come across somebody who says to you, okay, I'll show you. I won't just tell you, but I'll take you there. Your heart is filled with gratitude and much appreciation. Same thing. We've been looking around, struggling, stumbling, falling, not knowing where to go. And the Supreme Guide says, I'm not just going to tell you, I'll actually lead you back home. I'll come with you along the journey so that you don't get lost halfway, and I'll take you home. And also, my friend, the one who's always available, the one to whom I can turn at any time and communicate. Even little children have mobile phones now. And you see them talking. They have lots to talk about. I don't know what they're talking about, but they have lots. And so who is the person you remember instantly when something happens? Someone. Usually there's somebody you turn to. But what would happen if I made God my friend, and instead of connecting somebody here, I connect 0 and 1 and make the connection. And not only does God give an ear that's a sympathetic ear that's able to listen to me, but God's able to offer me solutions. Yes, it's great having a friend who at least listen, because most times people don't have the time to listen to you anymore. Hi and bye is about it. You know, see you later. But God, you connect, and God is able to give you the time to listen, but also offer you solutions. Okay, instead of this, try it like this. And you say, okay, I'll try it. And you try it, and hey, it works. And so you go back again and say, okay, what shall I do now? And your friend will tell you, okay, now this is the next step. Now this is the next step. And so you find a friend who's not just available and is able to give you solutions, but a friend who's always, always able to see the best in you and help the best in you to emerge. a friend who's able to be very honest with you and tell you what's wrong with you also, and you'll accept it because you know that the love is very pure and true and there's no other motive there. So the friend is able to give you a signal. No, not quite right. Shouldn't be like this. Maybe it should be like that. And so make God your friend. And then, early morning, you've made God. You've given time to God to experience God as the mother and father. Hopefully you've spent a little bit of your time before the day begins studying some uplifting, some enriching, some nourishing material. And then through the day, God has been your guide. God has been your friend. At the end of the day, in the evening, be God's companion and be the angel that's able to circle around the world. The evening hours right now, the hours just after dusk, be the time when they say that angels circle over the earth. Have you ever seen an angel? No? Okay. When you go back into your room, go to the bathroom, have a look in the mirror, you'll see an angel. And so in the evening, be the angel with God, circling around the world, sharing God's light and love. And at night, make God your supreme auditor. Share the accounts of the day with God. The credit, the debit, and see what still remains to be settled. If I think about the good things, the credit, but I remember that it's the one above who gave me the power and the inspiration to make it happen, then no ego, it's good, but no ego. And if there's things that happened that shouldn't have happened, again, presenting it to God, and there'll be a realization of how to settle it and finish it and change it. And then, what more is there that I still need to settle? The power of yoga, the power of God's love, enables me to settle all the things of the past. Well, how much more still remains? Maybe quite a bit, but that's okay. With God's love and remembrance, I'll continue to settle it. So through the space of any one day, experiment with each of these relationships, and each one has its own significance. Yes, maybe at some point one is more attractive for me than the other, but experiment with each one. And if at the end of the day you settle your accounts of the day, then it's like tying a ribbon and packing it up, and your sleep will be a very restful sleep. Somebody told me just today that they hear meditation commentaries and then go to sleep. And I thought, well, it's good. Meditation is different to sleeping. But if something is able to help you relax and become calm and have a restful sleep, that also is good. But when you sleep with a mind that's clean and clear, not only is the sleep a restful sleep, but you need fewer hours of sleep. if you look at the timetable of many of the yogis here, and you haven't yet got an idea of how much work actually goes on here. And here we cater for around 1,000 people or so. But at the bottom of the mountain, they look after 20,000, 25,000 people at a time. So how much sleep do those people have? It's very short, but yet short sleep can still be very restful sleep if the mind is clear. And the next morning, there'll be someone shaking your pillow at 3:40 so that then you're ready for meditation at 4 o'clock. It just means that the mind is clear and early morning. Yes, someone taps you on the shoulder and wakes you up, and you begin the day again with God's remembrance and the warmth and love and security of the mother and father. So let's have a few minutes of meditation now. Something else. Sister Aruna is suggesting that if there's any burning questions, we have a few minutes to take them up, and then 7 o'clock we'll begin our proper meditation. So just a few minutes, just to see if there's anything that's really buzzing around in your mind. Yes? Wait for the mic.
Yeah, okay. Om Shanti. Usually we speak of the devil, and it is the devil. I need some clarifications. I mean, the devil, yes, the within us, the devil, or is there a devil like as, because we had a tour in the museum, we also saw. So if you can clarify a bit about the devil part, if may.
On the one side, the deity, on the other side, the devil. Important to know both. The devil's been personified in all traditions, but in fact, the devilish negative qualities are the things that are there within us. The ego, the anger, the greed, the attachment, the lust. And so the devil is within me. God is without, not within. But the devil is definitely within us. Somebody here.
Anybody else? I think it's a good opportunity to
There's
take advantage
there
of.
Somebody in the middle of the room.
Okay.
And another one. Two sisters there. Yeah, if you keep your hand up, then she'll see.
Om Shanti. I was asked how we should understand the negative karma in the context of forgiveness.
Thank you. If I've done something negative, then let me have the honesty and courage to seek God's forgiveness. And it takes even more courage to seek the forgiveness of the person who I've wronged, and that forgiveness from God if it's done with a deep commitment to change and the absolute commitment not to repeat it, then that settles that karma through yoga and God's forgiveness. And if somebody else has done wrong against me, the way I've been able to resolve it is that it's not even in my hands to forgive them, but their karma and their connection with God is something that they have to sort out. But to be able to forgive them, I'm letting go of holding any ill feelings against them. And that's freedom for me. If I can forgive, I'm finding freedom for myself. Otherwise, I'm carrying the burden of whatever it is that's happened, and that's holding me down and is causing bitterness and pain within my heart. And so when I let go, then I don't think a human being has the power to annul somebody else's karma. So that's between that individual and God. But we use this word forgiveness, but it's not an annulment, but I'm forgiving in the sense that I'm saying, okay, I let go so that I can be free. There was somebody else here. Okay. Keep your hand up so she can see.
Om Shanti. Wow. A situation where you are at peace and you are living in a family where he's a very close member of yours, and he's emitting a lot of negative energy towards you, and the entire atmosphere of the house is just like, you know, very negative. How to remain calm and serene and peaceful in that atmosphere and maintain a balance in the relationship so that the entire atmosphere in the house is very healthy?
Early morning meditation, 4 o'clock meditation, is something that I can do just on my own. It doesn't involve anyone else. And God's remembrance at that time changes the atmosphere of the place in which I live. And so each morning at 4 o'clock, don't remember the person, don't remember the situation, but just experience that pure love of God's remembrance. That the atmosphere of the house begins to change. Those pure vibrations are spreading everywhere. And then secondly, carry with yourself this canopy of God's protection. It's like a visualization exercise, and I used it and it helped me in a very effective way. So just stay with God, but in particular visualize this canopy of protection so that their anger or their negativity doesn't impact you and you're able to maintain your own inner stability. And you're able to keep smiling. And A, it protects you. But B, I also found that canopy of God's light actually is able to reach them and transform them also. And so try it. These two things are very helpful. Okay, last two questions and then we'll begin the silence.
Hi, Om Shanti. A practical quick question on your lifestyle, as you mentioned a little bit at the end. How many hours do you sleep? And my experience this morning with Amritdila, it was okay for me to wake up and come here at 4 o'clock, but then afterwards we went back to sleep. Is that the right thing to do? Because it was difficult to wake up afterwards at 6:30. So it's kind of a practical question.
Average about 5 to 6 hours. Sometimes it gets to be 4 hours, but on average around 5 to 6, that's usually good enough. And then you have to just see, don't force yourself. You'll be able to see what works for you and how to pace yourself, and it happens. You don't have to push it, but just let it happen. 4 o'clock, it doesn't happen just like that. But 4 o'clock happens with a determination, because I know that the power I get at that time, I won't be able to get it any other time. But in terms of how many hours of sleep you need, what time you need to go to bed, that's then a personal thing that you discover gradually. But definitely, not just power, but the love, the realization, the transformation that happens at 4 o'clock, it just doesn't happen any other time. It's at that time. One last question?
Yes.
It has to be the last, and you're going to be here for many more days, so there'll be lots of opportunity for clarification.
Om Shanti. God is a good listener, right?
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
God is a good listener.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Why revolutions are still here? We are praying every minute, every day to peace. Is that me? Just I want the reason.
We might be talking about peace, but when God says, be peaceful, we forget it. And then we allow our desires to come up, then we allow our anger to come up. And so it's humans who move away from peace. And so God is giving us peace, but we then get into all sorts of other things. So peace mustn't just be an idea, but it must be practical in our life. It's possible. Your questions are fascinating. And yes, I'm sure we could spend a lot of time just having an exchange. But I'm also aware that silence will give you a chance to just experience the things that have been talked about, but also there'll be lots of opportunity for conversations, for questions, and I know that all these things will get clarified. And it's just been a joy for me to be with you all. So enjoy the rest of your retreat, and I leave you in very good hands. The beautiful team that's here.
Let's give a warm hand of applause. Thank you for your time.